What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast. This is our very first live stream. We are so excited.
So excited
that you guys are here. I told Mark I have to be on my best behavior because we can't just hit end recording so I can go on one of my tangents. Anyways, happy February. The month of February is considered the month of love pretty much worldwide. So this month we wanted to do something relationship related. So 2 weeks ago we talked about how we both met and we wanted to do a follow-up and do questions and answers live where you guys can ask us about dating, singleness, boundaries, all the things that you have questions about when it comes to relationships. I don't know what they all are, but you guys send in some really, really, really great questions. And we're so thankful for that. Now, if you do have any more questions, put it in the chat. We will definitely get to it as we can. We do want to honor your time. We don't want to take up too much time. So we're going to dive right in. I won't do any corny jokes. I won't do any singing.
Oh no, yet. We can't promise that.
Okay. That's why I said yet. So one of the first questions I want to start with is, if you listen to our episode two weeks ago, one of the things that Mark said it is when he came into his freshman year of college, which is the year that he and I met, he made a promise that he was not going to date for 1 year. That was part of like the setup for the story on how we met. And then a couple of weeks later, here I come.
That was pretty true. I mean, it was like the Shekinah glory of the Lord just hit that certain angle from the back of your head. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So one of the questions we had was, Mark, what was the reason for you to make that promise that you were not going to date the first year, pretty much your freshman year of college?
Yeah. I was in an unhealthy place in my life.
Tell us more.
Well, honestly, it's...
Tell us how toxic you were.
I mean, I felt like I was, and when I say toxic in the sense of, you know, it's interesting. I've been walking with the Lord now, even at that point, 4 years prior to that. But I think there's that moment where you have like your salvation with the Lord, but also you're still being sanctified, meaning like you're still growing and pruning. And I know that never
ends.
Fully ends or stops. But the summer, going from my senior year of high school, you know, graduating, going into freshman year of college, I didn't like where I was at. And I just found myself distracted. Well, and so it was one of those things where it was, you know, you hit in a dating stage where you're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but you're, you know, but you're dating basically. It's one of those types of things. Sure. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And it wasn't something that I was proud of. And, I knew that, my heart wasn't in the right place. Yeah. And so when I went to college, it was one of those things where, I wanted to be sure that I was good. And so, needless to say, I literally made a promise to the Lord and I said, I need to just take a break, right now from dating completely. Again, I never went into the quote unquote official boyfriend, girlfriend stage. But nonetheless, even before you hit that stage, there's still emotions, you know, that you let loose.
Yeah.
And with that, sometimes too, it leads to other things as well. And so needless to say, I didn't like where I was at personally, spiritually, emotionally. And I knew that I needed to have a spiritual reset.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And so I made that promise. And of course, like she said, 3 weeks later, she pops in. And I kind of honest, I wonder if the Lord did that on purpose. You know?
Well, you know, the Lord doesn't test.
Yeah. Well, maybe the word I'm looking for is he allowed it. Yeah. You know, in the sense of like, hey, are you for real?
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I stopped.
I think it takes a lot, by the way, when you were just saying like how you didn't like who you were. You didn't like where you were. I think that takes a lot of looking into yourself. Like right now, Nick Lachey, can you please stop putting out these shows that suck me in? Okay? Just stop. Like every time I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch it. But here we are with Perfect Match, man. You know? And we're just starting episode 2 of The Perfect Match. And I'm sitting here looking at us as like, I don't think these people are looking for your perfect match. Because if you're looking for your perfect match, you're not going to play these games. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a moment where you sit down and like you did, it's just be like, hey, you know what? I've tried it this way, this way, this way. All the people in the show have been in other places to find love.
Yeah.
Now they're like, no, let's put all the ones that are failed and put it into one room and see like how successful we can be. No, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I think it just takes like a lot of courage to be like, pause, I'm going to check me.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
It was well worth the wait, I would say.
Well, speaking of singleness, I like this question. What dating advice would you have regarding boundaries such as kissing, spending time alone, over at each other's house, etc.? So yeah, what advice would you have for any of that?
Okay, so I will try not to go off on a tangent about this. I am big on boundaries.
Why?
If you don't have them. Like, so I think of the cars that go over, you know.
The guardrail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have something in place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you won't get hurt. But you're not going to die.
It's better to rub up against the guardrail than it is to fall over to the ditch.
Yeah. But the place where I get kind of like about is, honestly, especially if you're like 80s, 90s kid, we grew up in this purity culture that just kind of like, I think, messed with us as adults.
Not everyone knows purity culture. Like, how would you?
So that was, so the purity culture was when I was this kid. True love waits. I kissed dating goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I remember desperately wanting a true love waits.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to show the world, like, oh, you know, I'm part of this culture that, like, I'm going to wait for my husband. But in that, I think a lot of people, I'm going to say this, and I'm sure I'll get backlash for it. I feel like a lot of men did women wrong in how you guys portrayed how women should have boundaries, yet the man was not given the same boundaries. We were used in sermons as, here's a $20 bill. Who wants it? Who wants it now? It's all crumbled up. The value of the $20 bill never went away, right?
Okay.
But they were referring to the crumbled up $20 bill as the women who didn't have boundaries. So I do have a bone to pick with that. However, we had some boundaries in our relationship that I loved. I think you have to know yourself. You have to know what your triggers are. You have to know what makes you tick. You have to know what your partner, like what could be a trigger for them. And you have to abide by that. Mm. So we were long distance, so that meant we saw each other once every 2 to 3 months. And obviously, there is an attraction there. There's a physical attraction there. So when we see each other, it's like, oh, wow, that person's looking better than the last time I remember seeing them, right?
Can I just ask something, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it real, because we were long distance for 3 years. You guys heard that. And we spent maybe 3 months of it together physically. It was hard. Okay. It was very hard.
Something inappropriate.
I think they know what that means. But seriously, it was ridiculously hard. So we're not saying this as individuals that mastered it. You know, by the grace of God, we both saved ourselves, you know, for each other. But it was hard, man. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to put that out, because I don't want anyone watching and listening as if like we perfected it.
Right. Absolutely not.
And we didn't. You know, and so again, the Lord.
And don't feel guilty for being attracted to your partner. You want to be attracted to your partner.
I would say we have bigger issues if you're not.
Right.
Like, it's, if this like, isn't a struggle,
oh,
we
I
have
can
another
stay
conversation.
In this corner, and this person can stay in this corner, and it's all hunky dory. Like, there's no attraction. Then we might want to reconsider the whole marriage thing on that one.
Well, and even going back to the purity culture that you talked about, there's on one side where what we're taught to do is, you know, yes, you do have to maintain your purity. So I do want to add that.
Yes.
You have to maintain your purity. I think what has
happened. But it doesn't come through shame.
Correct.
And
correct.
Condemnation.
Well, here's what I'm saying. In the 80s and 90s, though, to your point, I think the intent behind it was, again, the goal is to maintain the purity. But what ends up happening is, depending on how you grew up and where you grew up, rather than your church context or even like a cultural context, right? If you grew up very conservative, what ends up happening is you're basically told to lock it up, right? Yeah. Don't do anything with it until marriage.
And get your freak on.
Right.
Switch. Like, it's some sort of switch you can turn on. And it's yes. not. Yeah. And that's just been my biggest fight, I guess is the word I can think of, with the church culture and how they teach sex. Like, it just doesn't go together. Like,
so give an example then of the boundaries that we had.
Right. So I was going to say, one of the boundaries, like us being long distance, seeing each other, we're like, okay, this person's very attractive. Few months into us dating, one of the boundaries we had to put in place was, I think we should save kissing till we get married.
I was not feeling that, by the way. Like, I was, what?
Right. Because here's my thing. It is very easy for the kissing to lead to something else.
Now, let me add to that. This does not mean that you need to do that.
Absolutely not. Because okay. there are some people who can't handle it.
Right.
There's absolutely people who can handle it. But for us, that was a gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other once in a blue moon. And we didn't, on the off chance, want to mess up. We didn't want to give ourselves that chance to be like, hey, I haven't seen you in 3 months. You're looking like a whole snack. Let me start kissing you. And
you're lying on that last one.
It leads to something else. So one of the boundaries that we had to put in place was, we didn't kiss till now. That's to say, we had already kissed.
Right. Multiple times.
And we knew how heavy it was getting. So we're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't just even do that. So that's just what boundary that we needed. And that's just not a boundary everyone needs. It's just something we needed. The other one was, we were never alone in a house. We always had his roommate.
Well, after
AC.
A certain time.
Yeah. I love AC and I miss him so much. So, or his parents were around. We always had people around us. So,
but same thing. We learn how to put people around us because we didn't have people around us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so these were, we started putting boundaries in place out of being reactive.
Right.
Is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Instead of being proactive.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes you won't even know what to be proactive about.
Oh,
like
good.
You don't want to be like, I'm not doing this, because apostle, reverend, doctor said that's what they did with their spouse. Mm-hmm. So it worked for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if my system reacts like apostle, doctor, reverend.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
don't. So as I figured it out, it's like, oh, hey, that is a button for me. So let's reel it back in and see what we can put in place to avoid that from happening.
Yeah.
So I don't have a straight cut answer to it. I would say don't lead with guilt and condemnation, and don't do it because someone else did it. Do it because it works for you and your partner.
Yeah.
And because it honors the Lord with everything that you are, right? Like, in every area of your life, if it honors the Lord, do it.
Yeah.
So if you are able to see your partner and have a heavy makeout session and just walk away, you keep doing that. That's just not something that worked for us. We were like, this isn't working. So what are we
like
going to do
said,
about it?
Know yourself.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
That's good. I'm going to ask another one.
Okay.
When is it time to let go or keep working on a relationship?
Okay. So if it's two different answers for if you're dating versus married, because marriage is a covenant and you want to honor that covenant. However, if your partner, spouse, in either actually in dating or in marriage is abusive towards you, I 100% believe it is okay to pick up and remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah, for sure. Get safe.
Man, I am a little bit more cutthroat when it comes to dating.
Go ahead. Say it.
So as great as Mark is, when we were dating, people asked me, hey, aren't you moving to Alaska? And I remember telling them, like, why? He hasn't given me a ring. I wasn't going to pick up my life and change my entire life and move to Fairbanks, Alaska for a man who isn't committed himself to me. Yeah. So I'm a little bit more cutthroat when it comes to that. I'm just like, there isn't really a commitment. And I think one of the things that I find a lot of freedom in is the saying, if they want to, they will. Mm. So if they want to make themselves available to you, they will. If they want to be a loving partner, they will. If they want to be a good listener, they will. So are you saying,
I'll
let you answer that question. Cause I do believe I'm more like, you know,
I don't think that's that's your perspective. That's why we're asking the question. So are you saying that for you, the word that you use was commitment?
Yeah.
So is it safe to say that is that the time when it's time to let go of a relationship when you don't think the other person, whether it's male or female, isn't being committed?
So I think that's also tricky because you can be in a relationship and feel like there is a commitment that there's not. So if you're dating, like, we're very committed, mm-hmm. you may come across that way. We just saw that in that episode. Like, I'm so into you, you know?
So this is what this means. And then you need to define what commitment means.
Right. And it's okay to be picky and I think modern day has given us this like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be nagging and I don't want to be asking. No, ask. Like, literally, I just read the three of the things the Bible says is ask, knock, seek. Ask. Mm. Like, why would you not ask? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I do think when it comes to marriage, it's a little bit more, okay, let's take a step back for me and look at this as a whole picture versus dating. It's easier for me to be like, you know what? You're not being who I thought.
So let me add. So it seems like your main word to the answer to this question is commitment. Mm-hmm. We have to define. And here's the thing, like you said, you get to define what that means.
Right.
Your definition of commitment might be different from theirs, which is why he's got to communicate it. The thing that I was going to add to that is if your relationship together is not going towards the same goal. Mm-hmm. And so it could be things from such as, you know, one wants kids and the other one doesn't.
Oh my gosh. That's talk about that.
Right. You know, so there are certain things that the woman's going to want and the man's going to want. And once those things are laid out and you've talked about it, and if you're realizing, hey, well, the man wants 1, 2, and 3 and the female wants 1, 2, 3, 4, but the male doesn't want the fourth thing. You have to have enough, not just awareness, but emotional intelligence and actually love for each other to be willing to let that person go if it doesn't line up within the long term. And when I say goal, I'm not talking like I want to have 6 figures or something like that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, by the way. When I say goal, anything that's really going to impact and change the trajectory of your life, you know? So for example, for me, before we got married, I needed to have a woman that was going to be supportive of the military lifestyle. I knew I was going to be a 20 years in all the way. At the time, I thought it was active duty. But my point is, I didn't even entertain a woman that was not going to support the military lifestyle. So for me, I knew how to let go, actually, of I don't even want to say relationships, but if I found myself attracted to somebody, mm-hmm. and if I knew that's where they stood, it was very easy, actually, for me to.
Yeah.
You know, release that. So, you know, for you, commit. And I would agree too with commitment. If they were not matching the definition of your version of commitment, and if you guys aren't pointing towards the same goal, it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
On the other side, when is it time to keep working on it? You and I had a lot of hardship during the long distance. Mm-hmm. I would say more so year two. But what we realized is a lot of the hardship. It's easy to think that it's on each other. And the thing about romantic relationships is that they're so deep and intimate that they're actually a reflection of each other. And what I mean by that is lots of times the thing that you're frustrated with, you know, with your significant other, it's because they're actually pointing out something in you.
Yeah.
And so when we had a lot of our challenges and our hardship, and we find ourselves disagreeing quite a bit, we realized it actually wasn't so much with each other. You had your own stuff going on. You're living in Houston. I have my own stuff going on between Afghanistan and Alaska. And what it was is unintentionally, we're kind of just taking it out on each other. So it ended up being this instead of more like this. Mm-hmm. And here's a basic filter question, I guess,
mainly
for you to ask.
Him towards me, poor me.
I'm not even going to entertain that. So here's a filter question for you to ask. And this is what I asked you. I don't know if you remember this. I said, babe, do you feel the Lord is calling you to walk away from this relationship? I don't know if you remember
I do. And don't manipulate that question.
Right.
Do not manipulate
that question.
That
has to be asked from, and so I can truly say when I was asking that, I asked that question willing to let her go. And here's why. As much as even then when I asked it and as much as I wanted it to work out, I also did not want to get in the way of what the Lord can do in her life outside of me.
Yeah.
So keep in mind that, of course, the goal is marriage, at least for us. I never dated unless marriage wasn't the end goal. But if that is the goal, and if the person you're dating isn't the person, wouldn't you want to find out sooner than later? Mm-hmm. So when I asked her that, I was asking, as much as it would have hurt, I was asking with the willingness to release you back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to get in your way.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean that in a sense of I didn't even want to get in God's way of what he wanted to do with his daughter.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, is a shift. Don't look at it as just like, yes, you're my wife. But what's even helped me when we have conversations, whether it's not just conversations, but disagreements. Yes, it's how do I talk to my wife? But I've learned to go, Lord, help me talk to your daughter. It shifts it. So in dating, it's the same thing. But it's not always going to be about you. So ask yourself the question, has the Lord given you permission to walk away from that relationship? And honestly, one of the best ways to do that is pay attention to how does that person that you're dating line up with the biblical elements of what you're supposed to be looking for in a spouse? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I would say is don't ever be a convenience relationship to anyone when it's convenient for them to be madly in love with you and madly committed to you, but then pull it away when the thing they enjoy comes along, like hunting, gaming, whatever it is, shopping, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The other question, I actually really like this one. How do you go about determining whose voices you let guide your marriage? And have you ever had multiple pieces of advice that are great, but contradictory?
Okay. I don't know if you know where I'm going to go with this.
Oh, tell me.
You really don't? You know where I'm going with this?
I'm not a mind reader.
All right. So here's the deal. I don't care if you're single, dating, or married. What I'm about to tell you, I really do believe and hope it will change your life. And this is actually in all types of relationships. So not just romantic ones. This is in family. This is parent to child. This is your best friends, employees, employers, all right? The number one killer of relationships and arguably only killer of relationships are misaligned values. Mm-hmm. It's the number one killer and arguably the only killer of all relationships are misaligned values. So going back to the question, how do you determine, you know, when you're getting contradictory information, when it's both so good, here's the deal. When you know your values, it is going to contradict.
Yeah.
It's going to sound good in packaging. It's going to sound life-giving.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I also want to be clear here, sometimes it's not so much a matter of right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not a matter of this versus sin. Sometimes it's just not good for you.
Right.
Sometimes it's just not good for you as an individual and you as a couple. Mm-hmm. And so let me say it another way like this. The top three reasons for divorce is sex, money, communication. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not limited to, but those are the top three reasons, right?
And in-laws.
Yeah. Hey, real talk, all jokes aside, in-laws is a real thing, which is why these are things you have to talk about on the front end. But here's the deal. When a couple gets into a conversation or a disagreement or a fight, And we'll stick with the example of in-laws, mm-hmm. right? So it's easy to be like, my sister always does X, Y, Z, right, mm-hmm. to you. Or your brother always does A, B, C, D, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? You're not having a disagreement, an argument over your in-laws.
Yeah.
You're having a disagreement or an argument over the values. Because what it really is you're trying to explain to your spouse or your significant other or just your friend. Heck, we'll take out the romantic piece. You're trying to explain to that other party that this is something that I see. It matters to me. Why aren't you seeing this same thing? And so when you think about this, politics, religion, cultural background, all of that is actually rooted in values. All of it. Mm-hmm. You're not arguing actually so much from a political party as you are arguing about a value of a stance that you hold. Mm-hmm. So then the question becomes, well, how do we have the same values? And the answer is actually very simple. And I'm answering it two ways. If you're a Christian, this is the source. Period. So that was good. Period. Period. And so, all that being said, if how many times have you heard, and we probably said this with each other,
yeah.
We have said, but that's not what I was taught.
Mm-hmm. That's not how I grew up.
That's not how I grew up. Yeah, right.
That's not how mom and dad
taught
me.
That's not what I saw in the news or culture and society. Right. That's not my racial background.
I was going to say for us, background. That's like a big thing because like our cultural racial yeah. background yeah. is so different. Like the way I grew up, like I grew up very conservative, very Indian, very Asian household. And I end up marrying this very American man. And so it's like trying to mesh those things. It's like, ooh, okay. Like, oh, we different. Okay.
So what, which basically is a reminder that when you're in a romantic relationship or even when you're starting out a new friendship,
yeah,
you know, like when, you know, fellas, as you're developing like new friendships with other guys and ladies, you're doing the same thing with ladies. What you're really trying to discern here's where the uneasiness and discomfort comes from. You're trying to figure out how can I come alongside people or find people that were on the same playing field,
yeah.
you know? And so I'm feeling a little feisty right now. Ooh. All right. You ready? It is a lazy argument to say it didn't work out because we were too different.
Mm.
Your different personalities is not the reason why it didn't work out. Trust me when I say that, because we are different in every single assessment you can think of.
Even when it comes to something as simple as taking vacations.
Literally.
We are so different. I did not grow up in a household that took vacations. We kept our head down and we kept it moving and we just kept working. Like the whole concept of taking vacations was so new. So marrying a guy whose parents took him on vacations when he lived with them, I was all like, what?
So let me get even more practical than that. You ready? Here's how I can prove this. Every single successful company, business, or organization,
mm-hmm.
okay, in whatever genre you want to think of, right? So we can use Tesla, we can use Apple, we can think of sports teams, like the team that goes
like the Dallas Mavericks.
You can, but I was going to go about championship base. But no, seriously, think about it. So let's go to the most obvious one: Michael Jordan and the Bulls. All right. You have Michael Jordan, you have Scottie Pippen, you have Steve Kerr, you have Dennis Rodman, and then you have Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
All of their personalities are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And you even heard people say, I don't know if Phil Jackson was the best coach of all time yeah. or if he was a psychiatrist that just happened to be a coach because he knew how to manage personalities. And here's the point. As different as MJ, Pippen, and Rodman and all the other guys were, they had the same goal.
Yeah.
Not only do they have the same goal, they have the same values.
Yeah.
Not only do they have the same values, they have the same mission. They have the same vision, right? So the personality differences to say, oh, we're just so different, that is not your issue. The differences is actually there to complement all the most successful businesses and organizations, whether it's from sports to your Amazon of the world, whatever it is, they're as successful as they are because there are different personalities, but they have the same goal, the same mission, the same vision, and ultimately the same values.
Yeah.
So to say, oh, we're just too different, that's not why it didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work because you need to have aligned values, which means, again, as a Christian, these tell you your values.
Mm-hmm.
So we no longer get to say, this is how I was taught, This is how I was raised. This is my cultural background. All of that's this, my political stance. All of that becomes secondary to this.
Yeah.
But if you're a non-Christian, guess what? The Bible is actually optional for you. However, what I would say or ask you, if you are not a person of faith and you just want to have healthy life-giving relationships, my encouragement to you would be, well, you need to discern what your values are.
Yeah.
And write them out. And so for us as Christians, we have value statements around these five things: lordship, marriage, family, work, and finances. And it can be a verse. So, for example, our financial value statement is the 10-10-80 rule. We're going to give 10, we're going to save 10, live off 80. Because the scripture says it. We don't need to pray about it. We don't need to pray about anything that God's already spoken on. So that's just an example. Again, if you're a non-Christian or a non-believer, what is your anchor regarding your values? What sustains you? What holds you? Because not if, when you come across people or things in life, it will give you permission to say no what you need to say no to, and yes what you need to say yes to. So it's actually very easy to determine what's the contradicting information.
Yeah.
It's not going to come across that way, though.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's not always bad versus good or sin versus righteousness. Sometimes it's not good for you.
Yeah.
So know your values. You got to know your values. If you're Christian, the Bible has to determine your values. And if you're not, what is the thing that's going to anchor that?
Yeah. So, yeah. You just said it more nicely than I did. I was going to say, I know who I am. So when people give me advice and I'm like, that doesn't sound in line with what I believe of myself and what I believe God believes of me. So I use that as like a testing ground to be like, let me just wait it out, you know? Mm-hmm. And as you were speaking, like this imagery I had was like, I'm seeing like this beautiful wedding cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what social media is. Everyone wants to give like the latest, greatest advice on how great their, you know, relationship goals and all of that. And I'm seeing like this multi-tier wedding cake, but what people don't realize is a lot, especially now with the wedding costs being as high as it is, a lot of people are getting styrofoams and decorating it. And in the back, they have Sam's Club sheet cakes that they're cutting up and handing to their guests. And they're like, no one knows.
That is so funny.
So take and do with that what you will. Because I think it is so easy to look at the microwave, instant relief, relationship resolution and being like, oh my gosh, look at their Instagram theme. It's so coordinated. Like they go on all these great vacations. So the advice they give is great, but honey, it's styrofoam and there is Sam's Club sheet cake in the back that they're cutting up. So do with that what you will.
Yeah.
And again, like the same thing for what happens when you have great advice from multiple people. I just test it with the Bible, man. I test it with what the scripture says. And again, I have a relationship with the Lord. He can speak to me. He has the authority to tell me no. Mm-hmm. He has the authority to check me.
Mm-hmm.
He has the authority to be like, I need you to notice this. And it is up to me to submit to that authority.
That's good.
So,
ooh, you use the S word. Submission. I do want to add one more thing because it's very easy. I think we live in a world now where if you stand for this, then you're my enemy.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is, this is going back to the question, you might have three different views, right? Person A and B may not be saved. They may not be a Christian, and person C is. And guess what? Person A and B still might actually say something that lines up with biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
And person C, who does identify as a Christian, might actually say something out of pocket. So all that being said, have enough wisdom. Just because someone may not identify as a person of faith does not mean that the Lord cannot reveal some truth through them.
Absolutely.
So again, it goes back to not just knowing your values, but knowing the word, and that no matter who's speaking to you, let's just say they say five things, right? Four of them might be wrong, but don't discount the one. There might be one statement, one quote. My point is, have enough wisdom and give enough space for yourself as well as the other person to speak into it in the sense that the Lord might still actually give you something. Mm-hmm. And it could be through an individual that you least expect. Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, as long as that statement is tying back to a form of biblical truth, then keep it. And equally, don't dismiss a person just because for whatever reason, and you might have a justified reason to not to care for their opinion or who they are as an individual. Don't discount that the Lord can still use them to share Absolutely. One element of biblical truth, even if it's not even the scripture itself. Yeah. And just as much the opposite. It might be someone who identifies as a Christian, but they're going to say something out of pocket. You're like, I know you say you're XYZ, but
I mean, the Bible is laced with that, right?
Exactly.
God using kings who had nothing to do with him or the temple, and he used them to help, you know, the children of Israel.
I think of the centurion when he met Jesus.
Or even, heck, Judas walked with Jesus.
Well,
and look
right.
what happened.
There you go. So Judas walked with Jesus. The centurion had met Jesus for the first time, and Jesus is like, where's this person you want to be healed? The centurion's like, I know who you are. Can't you just do it right now? And Jesus is like, yes. Yeah. Look at this man's faith. You know, so yeah, absolutely. So all that being said, just have wisdom and give space to be able to discern. Let's not be so polarized in black and white. Dismiss the things that you know aren't biblical and then take in the stuff that is, regardless of the source.
Absolutely. This is a good question. How has the first years of your marriage differed from the last few? How have your dreams as a couple evolved over those years?
Wow, man, that's a beautiful question.
That is. Man, that's a really whoever you are.
Shout out Sophia.
So
I know, Sophia Luce.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. That's a very well thought out question.
It's funny what you said. I was just like, man, and it's funny, even though I saw it, I'm like, I still don't have, so this will be fun to kind of play this out with you. I feel like the first four for me.
Mm-hmm. We're perfect.
They were actually.
Anything short of that, sleep with your eyes open,
they
buddy.
They actually were. Not that the last four haven't been. So again, for concept, we've been married in 8 years. So I don't think she asked it this way, but I'm gonna digest it and unpack it. The first four and the last four. The first four I felt like was very. This is exactly what I wanted to do because I was active duty at the time. Mm-hmm. And so again, when I raised my right hand back in 2010, I knew I was going to be a lifer all the way through. And so when we got married, I just knew in those first couple of years, not only was I going to be active the entire time, I knew you're going to be right there with me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you and I had always thought about what's the next duty station we can do, not just after Tennessee, but even the one after that, mm-hmm. you know? And so we always talked about out loud, like how cool would it be if we got stationed in Germany
mm-hmm.
or how cool
Still
would it be
a
if
dream.
We got, yeah. How cool would it be if we got stationed in DC? Yeah. Or Fort Carson in Colorado Springs. So we've always talked about, it wasn't just the military itself, but the military lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you enjoyed that. And, you know, again, at the time, I had zero desire. I guess technically, even after I went through it, I had no desire to go to school. I wasn't even on the forefront. But the first few years of, I was just so certain that's what we were going to do. It's what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I was happy about that. And then in year, I guess, four, 2017, year four of our marriage, when the Lord just shifted that, you know, had me go back to school, but then had both of us step into vocational ministry. It was almost like the Lord took a grenade, went ding. And so the last four have just been I'm less tunnel visioned. Huh?
Is that also wonderful?
That has been wonderful. It's been more challenges though, but challenges because I feel like you and I see more, I don't know if clear is the word, it might be. I feel like there's more doors.
I think for the first time.
And I didn't see it the first
time. We don't have like a carved out plan. We're just out here, as the kids say, trust in the Lord, you know? Seriously, like when we first got married, I just knew military was going to be our life.
I knew by 44 he'd be out, and we had all these grand plans for once he gets out, and we never thought that he would get out of active duty anything short of 20 years. I would say our challenging years were probably our dating years. Mm-hmm. But the first 2 years of marriage, it was like marital bliss, like everything's great. And, you know, we were just thankful to be in the same time zone. We were just thankful to be in under the same roof and just be able to communicate with each other instead of having to wait 12 and a half hours to be like, hey, I know we talked about this yesterday, but I need, you know, like I need an answer to this now. Yeah. So the last 4 years has just really been a step of faith. Mm. And the thing I learned is when you're taking steps of faith like this, you got to make sure you're doing it with the right person. Because if I was with a partner that was also unsure and wavering, I think I know the last 4 years would have been harder than it already was.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've evolved in is now more than ever, we know that we want to do something that keeps us kind of in the same area and the same room as far as like work-wise. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have to be in vocational ministry ever again, but I enjoy being around him. I enjoy creating with him. I enjoy dreaming with him.
I think that's taken a lot more place in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
The dreaming part.
Yeah. I think we expected, and it's something I think when I know, we expected the Army to be our provider.
Yeah.
We never thought we could do something on our own. Mm-hmm. And now we're at this place where like.
That's what I mean by like open-minded. Yeah. That's why I was like, there's more, I feel like we have more doors.
Yeah.
I feel like we have permission.
We have more doors.
We've always had the doors.
Lord, we don't know which door you're going to take us through. Like, there's high anxiety, but also like high excitement, you know?
I think what I'm trying to say is like the doors have always been there, but knowing that they're there for us.
Yeah.
Because before it was, no, that's for someone else.
Yeah.
Right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And then the other thing too, I would say is it kind of goes back to the values piece. Thank you, Soph, for this question. I feel like you and I did a great job establishing our values early, literally mm-hmm. within year one. I didn't really appreciate how thankful I am that we did establish them because we're seeing the fruit of it more so in this past year and a half. And so, and not that I was ever, you know, skeptical or anything like that. I always knew the importance of having values. But going back to the question, you know, as you say, hindsight is 20/20, and you don't know that yet in year one.
Yes, I'm the original creator of that.
Yeah, but you say it all the time. But you know, it's one of those moments where it's like I'm thanking our year one selves mm-hmm. for now.
Honestly, I would even say do it before you get married.
Oh, for sure.
Have the value statements. Way before you get married.
Well, because it's going to determine if that's the person that you do want to marry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or before you even, you know, start dating and whatnot. But yeah, I would say that too. I'm so thankful for what our younger selves did because mm-hmm. I feel like we're seeing the fruit of, I mean, in every area, spiritually, financially. We literally just started working on getting out of debt year one. We got out of debt 2 years later. And 6 years after that, we're literally living in the fruit of that. Things we've done to invest in our marriage. So I think that's the other thing is things that we did intentionally do, as well as things we didn't realize we were doing intentionally that we're now seeing the fruit of that.
Yeah.
But I would say for sure the biggest thing is in the last year, we're definitely dreaming way more.
Yeah.
And so I would say to those who are in your first 1 or 2 years, man, I love the Bible. I know it sounds so cliche. The greater things are truly yet to come. Mm-hmm. You really, truly do go from glory to glory to glory. So if you're in a great season, praise God, it gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
And the second half of her question, how has it evolved? How's the dreams evolved?
Yeah. Just how it's evolved.
Yeah. I know I said it a little bit. I guess the first couple of years, I thought I was only good for one thing. You know, for me at the time, I really thought all I could do was the military. And though, yes, I strive and structure and routine and everything, I also realize I strive with structure and routine when I don't know what I want for myself. And so rather the Lord has done it individually in both you and me individually, or he's done it collectively or a little bit in both. I would say you and I feel like you can't do everything, but we feel like we can do more than what we initially thought we could do 7 years ago, especially in the first year. Yeah. I really thought all I could do was, I know it sounds crazy, I really thought like all I was good for was the uniform, mm-hmm. you know? And to see that desire completely gone. Again, I don't know if that's an individual thing or the Lord user marriage or a combination of everything. I think so much more outside the box now.
Yeah.
Like this version of me wasn't, heck, forget just the first years of our marriage, way before that.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine this version of me 4 years ago. You know, I'm way more open-minded. I believe in myself more than ever. I believe in you even more than I already did. I just see it as being limitless, but it has to be done through the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger thing. It's we have been coming to that because we're believing more of who God says he is. So get to know the Lord. That sounds so basic, but seriously, like know God as Father, as Abba. Yes, he's all the adjectives, the great I am, the almighty. The greatest name that Jesus used though throughout the Gospels was Father. Mm-hmm. It's intimacy, it's relationship. And I think I've for sure seen you grow in that specifically in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
You have grown phenomenally in your understanding and your relationship with the Lord. And here's why this matters. Your relationship with the Lord impacts how you treat others.
Yeah. And even how you love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Lord loves your spouse and you see that picture and is like, oh man, like I need to love them equally. You know, you will never reach the same level and depth in the way that mm-hmm. God loves an individual, but it helps like you love your spouse better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that S word helps you submit.
I'm not even trying, like, I might get emotional as I say this. You know, you shared something personal with me just a couple of weeks ago. And it really bothered me. And I kept, you know, I didn't say anything in the moment. And I've learned to do that just for my own sake, because I never want to come back combative. I just want to come back with a conversation, you know. And I remember initially I was thinking through, how am I going to defend this? Was thinking through the scriptures, you know, Ephesians, how Paul talks about what does it look like for the role of a wife and a husband through Ephesians 5. And he's so
like, I know there's something in the Bible I can use against her.
No, actually, I can also say that this was kidding. This was a moment where I was like, hey, what did Paul ask me to do as a husband? You know? And so when I was praying to the Lord about you, I really kept saying like, Lord, help me talk to my wife. Help me talk to my wife. And after like the third or fourth time I said, Lord, help me. See, I'm trying to get the other. I said, Lord, help me talk to your daughter. Because it was a reminder that, yes, you're my wife, but you're his daughter first.
Yeah.
And that shifted everything for me. But I truly believe that came from just me having a better understanding of who God, Abba, Father is. Obviously, you have to know Jesus. Jesus says that the only way to the Father is through him. As you said yes to Jesus, get to know God. And you do that, honestly, by just reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, because you will see, it's interesting how people say, I love Jesus, but God the Father freaks me out. But Jesus himself says, like, I do this on behalf of my Father. Like, Jesus is the way he is because he's seen his father do it.
Yeah.
And so the last few years, especially the last year, I don't know, I feel like the Lord's purging me even more. I mean, I know that's always to the day we die or Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
But my understanding as God as Father has shifted how I serve you and treat you even more.
I think like with each passing year, you really start understanding the whole altar thing. Because you stand at an altar, you know, in biblical times, you stood at an altar and you sacrificed, right? So on your wedding day, you stand at an altar and you are literally sacrificing yourself, like what you like, what your preferences are, and you're putting it to death. And I think that's the biggest thing that's changed in like the last, like the last couple of years of our marriage, is we got a deeper understanding of that altar of just being like, man, we both stood at an altar, and things that come to an altar, just, it has to die. And so
nothing
we
comes
have
to the altar to live.
Yeah. So we have to constantly put ourselves, and that's just,
and actually that's how marriage should feel.
Yeah. And
it should feel, when people go like, sometimes it feels like death. That means you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And it should feel like death.
It
should
is
feel like
a kill
a
to your ego. There's been so many times where.
Not like death, but this sucks.
Right. But, it really is. Like, I remember there were times I'm like, I'm not going to be the one to say sorry. Like, I know for a fact I'm right. And like, you know when you know that you know that you know that you know that you're right?
And here's how the Lord works. You're going to sit there in your prayer, right? Like I said, I'm up there talking to the Lord. I'm like, and this is how I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to say to her. And the Lord ain't going to reveal something about her. The Lord's gonna reveal something about me. I'm gonna be like, dang God.
Yeah. I mean, it happened to us a couple of days ago. Like, I was just like, well, you made me feel stupid. And he was like, you made me feel stupid. And I'm like, oh, you know, like quickly, like, I was like, I'm not gonna hold on to this. Like, you quickly change it. Like, you know, when you put yourself in, like, the Lord will check your ego so quickly when you just submit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That was a perfect way to end it.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts?
No, I don't.
No.
Yeah.
Right on.
I love relationships. I love marriage.
It's been great. Seriously. Yeah. It's been great. We hope this has been beneficial for y'all.
Absolutely.
Of course, continue to hit that subscribe button, follow us. And if there's any big takeaways, go ahead and post in the comments and please rate, review the show, you know, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also smash the like button on the YouTube. And we're so grateful for you. We're looking forward to continuing this journey with you guys. But we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Grace and peace.
Bye.